happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon in glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy. We'll be happy over there.
We will shout.
By his grace, and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there.
Everybody
will be happy. We'll be happy over there.
We will shout.
Glad you're all here with us this morning, and if you'll take your Bibles and open up to Psalms chapter 73, I've entitled the message today, Out of Touch with God, and so we're going to Psalms 73, and Brother Cleo, when you find that, if you'll come on up and go ahead and read that for us.
Good morning, beloved. Psalm 73. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compassed them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment, their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak loftily, they set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, How doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely, thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receiveth me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they that are from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works.
Out of touch with God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I come to you this morning.
I ask that you'd have your will and your way in our service. Lord, I pray that you'd speak with my heart. Lord, I pray that you'd speak with the hearts of those who have come and gathered around today. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to the hearts of those who are tuned in and listening. Lord, I pray for your will to be done in our service today. Lord, I pray that there'd be anybody among us that does not know you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that you would speak to their hearts today, Lord, and they would come and ask you to be their Lord and Savior. And Father, I pray for those that might be among us today, Lord, that are playing Christian. And Lord, they need to be saved. I pray today, Lord, that it would be the day that they would ask you to be their Savior. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, as a church to, in these dark days ahead, and these dark days we which now live, Lord, that we would stand true and tall and be a lighthouse for you. And Lord, I pray for your will to be done. In your name we pray, amen. As we go back to the Word of God here in just a moment, got to ask ourselves, is it possible for us to survive our connection with God by failing and living as we should? Some people, they'll ask the blessings of God on their lives, but at the same time are living in open rebellion to the will of God. It's kind of like going to McDonald's and getting yourself a milkshake, cookies, hamburger, French fry, getting the apple pie, and getting all the works, and getting a Big Mac and a quarter pounder, cheeseburger, and just for a snack, get some chicken nuggets, and sit down and put it all before you, and then bow your head and ask the Lord to bless it to your body. Kind of a little counterproductive there. We do that a lot in our Christian life. We don't follow the Lord, we don't obey the Lord, we don't do what God tells us to do, but yet we continually pray and say, God, bless my disobedience, bless my sin, bless what I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing. But we ask God nevertheless to bless, and then we kind of wonder sometimes why we don't get answered prayer. God is not going to bless your sin. God is not going to give you things that you might ask for that are contrary to God's word, things that are contrary to godly living. As we go back to the Word of God here in verse number 1, it says, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I'd like us to take a look today at some people and consider some people in the Word of God that got out of touch with God. It happens so easily. And I would like to say it, in my life it's true anyway, where it happens so easily that I get out of touch with God. And how can we get out of touch with God? I'll bring up some people in the Word of God that got out of touch with God. And you would think that even the circumstances that they were in the positions that they held, well, how in the world could they get so far? The first one we'll look at here this morning is the Apostle Peter. You know, Peter, he's an outstanding figure in the Word of God. But you know, Peter got out of touch with God. And think about it. You know, Peter, one of the Lord Jesus Christ's apostles, he spent day and night. They ate together, slept together, and there was teaching. There was a lot of time and a lot of effort invested in Peter. How could Peter get to where he was? How could Peter get out of touch with God and get out of the will of God, being right there with the Lord Jesus Christ himself? You know, sometimes, you know, as we look at our lives, we think, well, you know, we're faithful to church. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you are. And I hope you don't stop. And we have our Bible, but sometimes even in the midst of everything that we do, if we're not careful, we will get out of touch with God. Peter, he got out of touch with God in John chapter 13 and verse number 37, as Jesus and the disciples were there at the Last Supper, and Jesus was trying to explain to the disciples what was about ready to take place and how he was going to be crucified and how he was going to die. But Peter was a very prideful man. You know, that's the number one thing that gets all of us, is pride. We don't like to be wrong. We don't like to be told that we're wrong. And we'll do just about anything that we can think of if we are wrong to say that we're not wrong. And Peter was this kind of guy. He was one of these guys that was always out to self-justify himself. And as they were sitting at that supper, and as the Lord Jesus Christ was explaining to him the Father's will for the Lord Jesus Christ, which was to go and to be crucified on the cross, and to be buried, and to rise again so that the salvation would be for the world. You know, Peter was quick to speak, but slow to hear. And it caused him to not be able to understand, because Peter, at that dinner, when the Lord Jesus Christ announced what he had to say and told them what was about ready to happen, Peter very boldly and very spokenly said, "Even if it takes my life, even if I give my life, I'll protect you. I'll watch out for you. And they're not going to come and get you and take your life, even if it costs me mine." You know, Peter, he was very quick to speak without listening. You know, I really kind of think of Peter maybe would have really taken the time to absorb the message that the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to give him, and talk with him and share with him that it was needful for him to die. It was needful for him to perish on the cross. It was needful for him to be buried, because he'd be risen from the grave, and salvation would be available for the world. But you know, Peter was more concerned about his pride. And he said, "Even though I give my life, even though I lay down my life, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll defend you, and I will stand." Well, we know how that turned out. When the but Peter, you know, he continued on as he went into the garden with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in that statement with Peter not listening, you know what happened to Peter? He got just a little bit further out from where God wanted him to be. He got just a little out of touch because what he was doing is he was rejecting what Jesus said. And then when it got time that the Lord Jesus Christ took Peter and the disciples and went to the garden, What we find when they got in the garden, the Lord Jesus Christ took three, which Peter was included in that, and a little further, and he encouraged them to pray. He gave them some advice based upon what he knew that was going to take place. He gave them some advice, and he asked them that if they would kneel here and pray, and he would go on a little bit further. But you know, Peter being in that group of two other men, they were exhausted and they were tired. And so instead of praying, instead of taking the time to call upon God and ask and call for God's direction, well, the Bible says they went to sleep. They went to sleep. And the Lord Jesus Christ came back actually three times and asked him, could you not pray with me for just 1 hour? He came back once. He asked that question. He came back again. They were there sleeping again. He asked them the same question. And then the third time, he just left it go. But you know, because they were asleep, because they didn't take that time to pray, because they didn't take that opportunity to guard their relationship with God the Father, because they didn't take that opportunity to make sure that they were as closest to God as can be, well, it didn't quite work out for them very well. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested, Peter not only had fell asleep in the garden, but when the Lord Jesus Christ woke him up and they went to the edge of the garden, there came the group that was going to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ and take him off. And Peter's pride and not listening, he was going to make good on what he promised and what he said. And we know how that goes. He pulled his sword out and he took a swing at the servant of the high priest. And that servant was good enough and fast enough and ducked and only got his ear cut off. You see, Peter, little by little, just kept slipping away. Slipping away. You know, and these were all things, you know, if we look at from a human standpoint of view, who could, you know, what was wrong with Peter standing up at the Last Supper and saying, now, wait a minute, Jesus, no, this is not correct. I will give my life and defend you. Well, you know, that's honorable. Well, you know, Peter didn't have an honorable heart when he said that. What Peter was doing is Peter was, had his chest puffed out there and he wanted to speak up, and he was not listening to what Christ was saying. He was not listening to the message that Christ had for him. And when he needed to be guarding for his soul and be praying, he allowed sleep to come in and he slept. And again, little by little, it led to more. And then instead of allowing God's will to take place in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he tried to prevent it. Just think what would have happened had it been possible that Peter was successful at the garden in preventing the Lord Jesus Christ from being arrested and crucified. That wasn't a good thing. But you see, Peter was more concentrated on what he desired and what he wanted. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested and the Bible says they all scattered, we find Peter following the Lord Jesus Christ afar off. You see, another little step in his life. You see, the devil's tricky, folks. The devil's smart. He's not going to start in your life and tempting you to walk away from the Lord in a big way. He's going to tempt you to walk away from the Lord in little ways, being disgruntled and having a prideful heart and a prideful attitude. And then what happens is one sin builds upon another, and you fall asleep. And when you should be praying and asking God's will and leadership in a situation, you don't allow your pride, and then you strike out and you act wrong. And then what Peter did is he began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ afar off. You know, I kind of wonder how many of us here today fall in some of these categories where we're following Jesus at an arm's length. You know, we're almost there. We're almost doing what God wants us to do. We're almost being obedient. We're 99.9% obedient to everything that God wants us to do. You know what 99.9% obedience to God is? Zero. You don't get credit for being 99.9% obedient. God wants us to be totally obedient to Him. And what happened here is Peter, he got to following afar off, and he began to, and as he began to follow afar off, what happened is he began to, as we know how that story went, he began to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you keep God and when you keep Christ at an arm's length of your life, because what you're doing is you're holding up and saying, "Hey, God, it's okay. I believe, but I'm going to keep you right here. I don't want you any closer than that." You know what happens? When opportunity comes to witness, you kind of look at that situation and say, "Oh, well, not today. I've really got a big schedule. I'm really busy." Holy Spirit, I know you're dealing with my heart, and I know you're speaking to me, and I know I need to be doing this witnessing, but I'm kind of tired. You know, I need to get home. You know, and what we do is we begin to follow the Lord afar off, and that's what Peter was doing. And when you continue to follow the Lord afar off, what winds up happening is you wind up cursing God. You know why the Lord preserved this story about Peter in here? Not so that we could look at Peter and think to ourselves, "Well, how horrible of a man Peter was." No. It's to help us know and understand that the mistakes, the small mistakes, the little things that came along in Peter's life got him to the place when he had opportunity to witness, because he was recognized as a Christian, he cursed God. And he denied God. And then he cursed God. And then he began to curse God and speak like the world. And so out of touch with God. Another person that got out of touch with the Lord in the Bible, and we see this account in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 3. And this was a man of God by the name of Eli, who got out of touch with God. Eli began to allow his sons to do things that they to commit sins in the temple. He began to allow his sons to do things that he knew that shouldn't be. And sometimes you get so far away, you get so far away, you don't make it back. You know, Eli was a man who got so far away from God, he didn't make it back. And eventually God quit speaking to him. But you know, as we look at the sins that Eli's sons were guilty of, that Eli was permitting in the house of God. You know, see, Eli's sons, they were stealing from God. You see, there was a command given that the priests and the Levites, they got a certain portion of the offerings that were offered. But you know what Eli and his son, or what Eli's sons decided they wanted? They wanted more. They decided that what God had provided for them was not good enough, so they decided they would take what was not theirs. You know, today we hear this a lot, and if you watch the television, you'll see this and hear this a lot, where the statement is made: everybody deserves the American dream. We have got a bunch of believers that are spending more time out there grabbing the American dream, making sure that they gather up all the money that they can get, put it in the barns and store it up. You know, want to make sure got the house that you want, and you want to make sure you got the cars that you want. Want to make sure that you have all the money that you need, and that you've got this big American dream. But you know what? Most of the time, that American dream winds up being a nightmare. That American dream winds up being a nightmare. You know, God may have chosen for you to be poor. You say, oh, now wait a minute. Why would God choose me to be poor? Well, I don't know, but I'm one of those ones that God chose to be poor, and I thank the Lord for it. Now, I wouldn't mind trying my hand at rich, but if trying my hand at rich would cause me to not serve the Lord, I don't want it. Amen. I don't want it. You see, Eli's sons got to looking at what God provided for them and said, we're not happy with that and we're not satisfied with that. You know why a lot of Christians are not faithful in church? Because they're too worried about the American dream. They're too worried about getting the things that they want instead of the things that they need. And I'll tell you what, I promise you that American dream that you're going after, just like for Eli's son, is going to wind up being a nightmare. But Eli's sons, they stole from God. They weren't satisfied with what God had for them. And then again, as it progressed and it went along, they begin to dishonor God. You know what happens when we continue down a line of sin like Eli's sons had? You know, it doesn't stay just good enough taking more than than God intended for you. You begin to look at what the world has and you begin to take of it. And you begin to adapt to that. Because see, what Eli and his sons did is they begin to take of the blood that they were forbidden to take from. They begin to take of the fat, things that God said that was to be totally consumed on the altar, and my people were not to touch it. But you know what happens? Many of us, as we are not satisfied with what God has for us, and we begin to go after that American dream, you know what? It's not satisfying. It's not going to bring you to where you need to be. It's not going to keep you happy. It's not going to keep you content. And as we read in our scriptures, what happened to here is you're going to begin to look at the world. You're going to begin to look at the things of the world, and you're going to decide, hey, I'll have me a little bit of that blood, and I'll have me a little bit of that fat. I'll take the disobedient things that God has for me. And you know what happens? You get further out of touch with God. When you start down that road, you see Eli, what was the man of God, and Eli should have put some things to a stop, but he didn't. He allowed his children. You know where a lot of Christians today fail? Is in their children. Is in their children. I want to encourage you folks, the Bible tells us, as Christians, it says, train up in a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. As we've talked about before, you know what that word means? Or that verse means? It means to literally train them. You bring them up. You don't ask them what they would like. You tell them what they're to do. You don't ask them what they desire. You teach them what to desire. We live in a world that's all backwards, and you know, let the kids be kids. Let them do whatever they feel like. Let them do whatever they want. After all, they're just kids. No, the Bible tells us we're to train them up. We're supposed to point them in the direction that they're supposed to go. But you know what we do a lot of times, Christians? That's work. That's hard. That's something that we don't want to do. So what we do is what the world says, the fat and the blood. And we take our hands off and say, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to let my children come to their decision on their own. I want to encourage you, be careful. Be careful. When you get out of touch with God, when you stop obeying God, you start stealing. You start looking for the American dream, and then you begin to get disobedient to the things of God, and you get further and further and further away, and then finally God stops speaking. You say, wait a minute. Now am I losing my salvation? No, if you're truly born again and you have truly accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are in the family of God, and there is no way out. But you know what can happen? Is God stopped communicating. You see, we have this ideal that we can live in sin and be in disobedient and do what we whatever want, and God's going to keep reminding you. No, God's not going to keep reminding you. There will come a point when you continue to disobey God, when you continue to run from God, when you continue to do things that you know that are wrong and that are sin, and you're living in it, and God keeps speaking to your heart, and the Holy Spirit of God keeps moving and moving and moving in your life, and you keep saying no, and you keep saying no, and you keep saying no, eventually He will stop speaking. He stopped speaking to Eli. We know the story very well when Samuel, just as a young child, went into the temple, and God began to speak to Samuel. You know why he didn't go to Eli? Because Eli's what was out of God's will. Eli had stayed in the position that he was in so long with his sin that he could no longer hear from God, and God chose out someone else and began to speak to him. And remember, as God spoke to Samuel, and Samuel misunderstood, and he thought it was Eli calling his name, and he'd go to Eli. And at first, it took a couple times for Eli to even recognize that God was speaking to Samuel. Be careful. Don't get out of touch with God. Stay close to God. Stay as close as you can, because you will and you can get to a point when God stops speaking. And then another Bible example we'll look at here is David, out of touch with God. You know, David, God done wonderful things in his life. We know the story of David and how his ascension to the throne that God had given him, and how God mightily protected him from Saul, and all of the things that David stayed faithful and David stayed true, but one day, David, being in the battle of God, being in the battle, got tired. He got some bad advice and he followed it. And he went home when he should have stayed on the battlefield. You know, sometimes in our service for the Lord, we get tired. You know what? As your preacher, I get tired. But you know what we got to do? We got to stay on the front line. We got to stay where God put us. We got to stay doing the things that God told us to do. Because when we leave that position, before God says go, what winds up happening is we get where the devil can get in and use us. And that's what happened to David. He left the battlefield. And all that God had done for him, all that God had done through him for one night of passion, he threw it all away. He threw it all away just to satisfy himself. You know how David got into the position where that was even tempting? He was not where he should have been. You know, many times as we serve the Lord, we're going to get into some places where the battle's tough, the battle's long, and the battle's tiring. But I want to encourage you, don't leave the battle. Don't leave the battle. Stay in the battle. Stay faithful. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in the things of God. Because the moment you do, you're going to be someplace that you shouldn't be. You're going to see something that you shouldn't do. And you're going to yield. And one night of passion will cost you a whole lot. I do thank the Lord that David, after repenting of his sin, suffering many consequences for it, but he had a second opportunity. And I thank the Lord for his grace. I thank the Lord for his opportunity. I've shared my testimony with you before. As a young boy, 12 years old, at camp, I was angry with God. I was mad at God. And he spoke to my heart about getting saved. I knew I was lost. I knew I needed to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I told him night after night at camp, no, no, no. And the last night, I finally told him, go away and leave me alone. You know, God did. Almost 4 years, God left and didn't speak to my heart again. And during that 4 years, my life went from bad to worse. And at the end of those almost 4 years, I was at the end of my rope. And God spoke to my heart. I thank the Lord for that second opportunity, that second chance, that second opportunity I had to make to make things right. You know, and during those 4 years, folks, it wasn't that I was out of church, because I was a young man with Christian parents, and they made sure I was in church. We sat on the second row, and I was there every service. It didn't matter what was going on in the church, revival, missions conference, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night. We were there at church. I was there every single service. I even remember my pastor preaching on hell and being very descriptive. And it didn't bother me a bit. I never thought about it. Actually, the friends that I hung around with at that time, amongst our friends and people that would talk to us, if they asked us how we were doing, or if they would ask us where we were heading or where we were going, we'd look at them and tell them, to hell if we don't change our ways. And I could say that and it not bother me. And I thank the Lord for that night at a youth activity when I heard the speaking of the Holy Spirit one more time. You know, I knew that that was my last opportunity. I knew that that was my last chance. I believe it with all my being. I believe it with all my heart that had I not responded that night, I would have never had another opportunity. You see, God's grace is good. God's grace is good. I wonder this morning, are you out of touch with God? I'm not talking about your church attendance, because as I look through the crowd, praise the Lord, most of you are here regularly. And I thank the Lord for that, and I appreciate that. But are you out of touch with God? Are you here warm in a chair? Or do you actually have a relationship with God? Are you talking to him on a daily basis? Are you willing to move ahead and serve and do things as you know you should? Be careful. Be careful, because just coming to church could cause you to begin to slip away and get out of touch with God. Because again, as a church, folks, we have the responsibility to take the world, take the gospel to the world. God's commanded us to do that. He's not asked us if we'd like to. But I'd like to encourage you, each and every one of us, examine your heart. Where are you at in the illustrations and in the things that we've given here? Where are you in your relationship with the Lord? You see, remember Peter, he was sitting down and being educated by Jesus Christ himself, but yet was out of touch with God. And it led further and further and further until he got to the place where he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, again, I'll ask you all to bring to memory those that used to be here in church. At Faith Independent Baptist Church, they used to come and they used to be faithful. They used to be regular, but now they're not going to church anywhere. What happened? Where'd they go? Well, they got out of touch with God. You may be here this morning, or you may be listening in, and you're like Eli. You're allowing some things in your life that you shouldn't, because what you're more concerned about is the American dream. You're more concerned about your bank account and how much money you can gather up. You know, you may get the American dream, but I promise you it's going to be a nightmare. The American dream will be a nightmare. And then we'll end with David. David got out of touch with God because just that one time, he was where he shouldn't have been. And the sin just kept building one after another. I mean, think about how far David went. Think about how far David went down from a successful kingdom, from a successful God blessing in many ways and being the king and many good things going on in the kingdom. But one time that he was not where he should have been, the devil opened up a door which led from adultery to murder. You say, oh, well, that won't happen to me. Oh, don't you be so foolish. Don't you be so foolish to think that won't happen to me. Because it could. I challenge you. Who are you in these scriptures? And what are you willing to do about it? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to never be out of touch with you. Lord, help me to always examine my heart and my life, and Lord, help me to stay where I need to be. Lord, I'm not any better than anyone else here today. Lord, I sin and I do things that I shouldn't do. Lord, I get out of touch with you. But Lord, help me always to come back. Lord, help me not to stay out too long. Lord, help me not to concentrate on things and look for things that I shouldn't be desiring and wanting. Lord, help me to be faithful to you. And now, Lord, we pray that you'd be with each and every one here. Lord, I'm sure that there's probably somebody here today that does not know you as their Savior. Lord, I pray that today would be the day they would ask you to come into their heart and be their Savior. And Lord, I pray that you would just move in a mighty way. Lord, those who need to get things right, I pray that they would do so. And we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Brother Chuck.